And May has texted us to say a lot of Catholic clergy ruined family life for Catholics. And Henry in Port Glenone texting us this morning says, bishops don't work in isolation, John. Every diocese has ample professional lay bodies to help diocesan governance, all modern and relevant. So why can't we see more of that at the Vatican?
Well, you see, what lies behind all this is, I think, an assumption that the experience of married life contradicts the teaching of the Church, and therefore the teaching should change. That's, I think, one of the assumptions being made here. And I think that's wrong. I don't think that that's correct. But I very firmly am in favour of improvements in consultation, but not on the assumption that if you do a kind of a account of what lay people think about X, Y, or Z, the Church must therefore change the teaching to match what people think or want or are doing.
I don't think that's necessary.
So don't expect a change in contraception, for example.
Yeah.
Family planning, that's just going to stay the same.
I think there's no way that it could possibly change because it's true.
But
the way it's explained could be changed, right? In fact, it could be explained because it's not being explained.
It's hardly ever explained. It's just stated, yeah.
I don't understand the premise for your statement that the experience of married life contradicts the teaching of the Church. I mean, that's a very broad and sweeping statement. But certainly I think that the Church has a responsibility.
Well, it's true, isn't it?
But I think the Church has
Most Catholic couples are using contraception, aren't they, in the West?
I would imagine so, yes.
Yeah, so they're clearly not following Catholic teaching.
Absolutely, but the issue here is about, you know, how do we truly engage people in this debate? I'm not suggesting that the Church ought to change its views on things purely because more people disagree with it than mm-hmm. agree with it.
Right.
But they do have to learn how to take those views into account in how they deal with people. I mean, looking at how do you deal with the single mother who wants to have her child baptised? How do you deal with the individual who has come out of a marriage and still wishes to receive communion? Those are really concrete issues for people who wish to practice their faith. So what's the Church going to do on a practical level? It's going to ask us about documents and you know, Second Vatican Council, and people are going to be remote from that, and they're just not going to want to engage. If the Church wants to re-engage people, then it has to do it in a way that people can relate to. And I'm not saying that.
One Catholic said to me a while ago, it's a bit of a luck of the draw here. You might get a parish priest who is pastorally sympathetic, sensitive.
Absolutely.
And when it comes to a lot of these issues, you're not getting into a canon law discussion. You've got someone who's just dealing with things in a common sense way, in which case you're lucky. You're one of the lucky ones.
Absolutely.
If that's what you get.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and
that
is the lucky
draw. It needs to be acknowledged. You're talking about theology, documents and canon law as something that is irrelevant to pastoral.
I'm not. I'm actually saying that most people don't understand it when it's presented to them in that way.
Well, it's not presented to people. That's the point I'm making.
But I thought this consultation was a public one.
It is a public consultation.
It is a public consultation, so it is being presented to people in that way, John.
Well, questions are, but the actual teachings haven't. Now, that's going to be one of the, I think, the findings of this consultation, globally, by the way, not just in Ireland or in England, but globally, I think we're going to find that throughout the Church there's a silence about these issues. And I agree with you, Bishop, there should be much more done to engage lay people, including better language, including better questions. I agree with that. I think that's a very good point.
Well, then that's the point that you, as the director of the Iona Institute, ought to be making to the Irish bishops before they head off to the Synod.
Well, I think there's already been a lot of more work being done than you're giving any credit for. So the idea that Mary McAlee says is completely bonkers is a total rejection. That's quite different than saying that there's room for improvement. You know, there are degrees here. If you say that's completely bonkers, completely useless, you're saying that nothing is going to be good coming from this synod at all. If you're saying that there's room for improvement, well, then you can say, OK, how can it be improved?
We're nearly out of time. I just want to squeeze one more point in for you, John. Why do you think Mary McAleese said this? I mean, Mary McAleese is a law professor, president, as you say, diplomatic experience. Why did she just let rip like this?
I've no idea. I couldn't really guess as to what the motivation is. I do know that Mary McAleese has been very critical of Church teachings in some areas in the last year since she left presidency.
Yeah, and she's been living in Rome. She's done a degree in canon law. She's published a book on canon law. Obviously, these issues matter to her greatly, personally.
Yeah, I think they do, all right, and that's maybe where she's coming from. But I do think that the authority of bishops to teach is at the heart of this. Whether there can be improvements in consultation and all that is also very relevant for sure, but not in a way that's going to deny the authority of bishops to teach Catholics. That's the key point, I think.
There have been some women who have headed up curial departments in the Vatican over the years. They had a Harvard professor a while ago leading up a very significant department of the Vatican. Maybe Mary McAleese should get one of those jobs. What do you reckon, John?
I don't think so, because I think
she's probably just invalidated
there,
her application. Yeah,
who believes the teaching of the Church. Mary McAleese is in public come out saying that she doesn't believe some of the teachings of the Church.
But
so I doubt if we're going to have somebody who doesn't believe the teachings of the Church on the priesthood or on sexual ethics who's going to be put in charge of a department in the Vatican. So that's the problem, I'd say.
Can I just squeeze this text in from someone to the programme who says, I am a priest and I find your family slot rather amusing in that I am giving communion to remarried divorcees every Sunday and
Good
also
ma'am.
Couples who are cohabiting. It's not my job to judge people, but to care for them. And there are many priests who are doing what I'm doing.
Fair play to him, and long may it continue. And it would be positive to see more and more priests act in that way. But I think the key issue here is what Archbishop Dermot Martin said when he was commenting on this synod, is that the teaching of the Church isn't practical in relation to people's day-to-day struggles, and it's at best an unrealistic ideal. So the key challenge there... I'm quoting Archbishop Dermot Martin here.
He's not rejecting the teaching as being unrealistic, is he? I mean, he might be saying that people aren't following it.
He said, at best, it's an unrealistic ideal. So the challenge that I'm saying...
Or it's seen that way by people. It's seen that way by some people. Is that what he said?
That's a different thing. Oh, you have to be very careful here. The Archbishop of Dublin isn't rejecting the Church's teaching.
I did not suggest that he was.
He's saying that people might see it as being unrealistic.
We'd make some news this morning if he did.
I'm quoting from an article where he is quoted as saying people's day-to-day that the teaching appears not as practical in relation to people's day-to-day struggles being at best an unrealistic
idea. It appears that way to people. Yeah.
But the issue here is how then, if it's seen as an unrealistic ideal for many people, how is the Church going to engage with people? And that question still is outstanding. How is the Church really going to engage with the laity and with the wider community to embody the spirit of family in the reality of the 21st century?
Well, I agree with that, but I think it has to be done in a way that actually speaks from the tradition without rejecting the tradition or contradicting the tradition, and that's not being done. So that priest who got in contact with the programme, I would be glad that he's been pastoral, but I would wonder, does he actually teach his people what the Church's teaching is on marriage? Does he ever give homilies on this? Does he ever explain it in any kind of detail? Does he stand for that teaching in any kind of way at all, even, you know, gently and kind of patiently? Or does he just ignore it?
Do you think he's right to give communion to remarried divorcees and to people who are cohabiting?
Well, I think the first thing he needs to do, and this is what I'm asking, is he needs to be talking to these people about the Church's teaching.
Maybe he does.
All of his people. And I would, again, I can't speak for him, but...
Well, he clearly has talked to them if he knows they're remarried after divorce and he knows that they're cohabiting.
I don't think he is doing that. I mean, how do we know he's doing that?
Well, if he knows those details about their lives, he knows that much at least.
But do they know the teaching? You see, it's very easy to say people know the teaching, but how do they know the teaching? People don't know the teaching. Like, as Fisher says, they're not aware of these documents. They don't read documents.
I think most Catholics who get divorced, John, I think most Catholics who get divorced know that there's a problem for them there with the Church.
Do they know why, though? Do they know what the basis of the teaching is? Do they know, you know, the reason for the teaching? Everyone knows the conclusions, all right. I mean, that's fairly obvious. But how many people would know why, what the rationale is?
I suppose what's
going to be your final word.
Well, what's coming to me out of this discussion this morning is John appears to be saying that there is no room for change in the Church's teaching on anything. And that would concern me because, you know, sometimes we do have to look at how society has changed and how the churches and faith-based communities can accommodate that change in society without sacrificing their core beliefs. So maybe this is the opportunity to do that via the Synod.
Patricia, thank you very much. Patricia McBride, thanks also to John Murray, Chair of the Iona Institute.